You're tuned in to the Health After 30 podcast. And if you experience bloating and you've tried all the diets and restricted all the foods in order to have better gut health and beat the bloat, but you're still bloated, then this episode is for you. Hello, friends, and welcome back to another episode of the Health After 30 podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I'm Alana Bonneman, and you could have been anywhere, but you're here, tuned in, listening, being interested in your health and yourself and wanting to improve. So thank you for that. Today's episode, I'm talking with Carly Close, who is a health coach who is specialized in gut health, specifically to reduce bloating. Now, what I really like about this interview and also Carly's approach is that she is not of the restrictive approach. She doesn't take the approach of we need to restrict all these foods in order to have good gut health. Rather, she focuses on what we can include, what we should be including, and also how we can kind of take a holistic approach in getting better gut health and reducing the bloat. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you enjoyed today's episode or any other episode, please feel free to leave a review or a rating, as this makes my podcast more discoverable so I can have better guests and create even more wonderful content. I'm Alana Bonneman. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get into today's episode. Hi, Carly, and thank you for coming on to the Health After 30 podcast.
Hello, Alana. Thank you so much for having me here today.
Yeah. How are you going? How are you feeling? How are you? I don't normally start like this, but how are you feeling today? How is your gut health feeling today?
Honestly, it's feeling phenomenal, especially when I think back to how I felt 6 years ago. And I think that's important, is we reflect back. Like, if I wake up one day and maybe I am bloated. I'm not saying I never ever get bloated. And it's like, it's so easy to be hard on ourselves. But then we need to think back, and it's like, where was I 6 years ago? Because that's when my gut health journey started. And it's like, I was a disaster. So it's important to
in
remember
comparison, you're feeling
how far
great.
You've come.
Yeah, absolutely. And comparing it with yourself as well. I think in health, that's often the way, right? Comparing with like where you've been.
Yeah, yeah. It's super important.
So tell us a bit about your journey. Like, you are, like, gut health is your thing, bloating, beyond the bloat, helping women reduce the bloat. This is your gig. How did you get there? Obviously, it's a 6-year journey, as we've just heard.
But yes.
How did you get there? And, yeah, this is a bit of a springboard for us to kind of frame everything.
Absolutely. As I said, 6-year journey. So rewinding 6 years, I had been thin my entire life. So I want to start with that because it's important here. So I had always been thin. I lived a very unhealthy lifestyle. So throughout high school, university, even post-university, I drank a lot. I ate a lot of ultra-processed foods, didn't exercise. I worked a job which was serving. So I was sleeping at like 2 a.m. till like noon. My sleep schedule was a mess, and I kind of got away with it for a while because, as I said, I was never overweight. So
you could hide in today's a little bit better.
Yeah, in today's society, it's very focused on you're overweight, you're unhealthy, you're thin, you're fine. I've actually had doctors say that to me. They said, you're thin and young, you're fine, when I
your
was
BMA
not fine.
Your BMA is within range on paper. Yeah, that's really slippery slope, that one, isn't it?
Yeah,
really
so I was convinced that I was living healthy enough or else I would have been gaining weight. So I continued on this path, and I did have symptoms that I later realized were connected to gut health. Like, I was getting chronic infections, UTIs, throat infections. I was exhausted all the time. I had canker sores all the time, like things that I was not making the connection to my gut until I later started improving my gut health and these things went away. But what made me start improving my gut health was when my digestive issues kicked in. So I started working full-time. I graduated university, got my full-time desk job, and I hated it. I hated it so much, and my gut just exploded. So I was getting chronic pain in my gut. Like, every time I ate, it was just like stabbing gut pains. I would be running to my little tiny office washroom and spending some quality time with the toilet. Super embarrassing. I was bloated. I was bloated every single day. And because I was so thin, it was very noticeable. Like, I looked massively pregnant. And so I stopped wearing a bunch of my clothes because, you know, I had like cute crop tops because I was in my 20s at this time, right? So I was very lost. I had no idea what was happening. And the only thing I could think was it must be something to do with what I'm eating. I knew my mom was gluten and dairy free at this time, so I had some idea of like diet impacting how you feel, but I was also very unhealthy at this time. So I didn't want to admit that I was living unhealthy and had to make changes. But it got to a point where I couldn't ignore it anymore. So I was like, okay, I need to do something about this. So I went to doctors and they brushed me off again, told me, you're thin, you're young, you're healthy, everything's fine. And I was like, why am I having pain every time I eat? That doesn't seem fine. My doctor gave me bloating, like gas medication, and told me, take that, that'll help. Didn't help, and also that's not a solution regardless, as we know. So eventually I went to see a naturopath, and I did a food sensitivity test, and it lit up like a Christmas tree. And my naturopath told me, this is one of the worst ones I've ever seen. And it was very traumatic because I was very unhealthy. I didn't know how to cook. I didn't know how to eat any other way at that time. So I just had like a meltdown and I was like, what am I supposed to do? And that was when I started my journey because I was like, you know what? I did this test for a reason. I wanted answers and I'm gonna do what it takes to feel better. So I did start eliminating gluten and dairy. That was my first step. And I felt better. Like, the pain after eating started to subside and the explosive diarrhea episodes started to lessen, but my bloating was still there. And my bloating was there every single day for 5 years. I am not joking.
Doesn't matter what you were eating, doesn't matter what you were doing. I hear that so often. It's like, there's like, I can drink water, bam, I'm bloated. When I wake up, I'm bloated. And it just becomes a chronic thing.
Yeah, it was so frustrating. And I kept seeing different professionals. I would see specialists, I would see naturopaths, nutritionists, osteopaths. I saw everybody under the sun. And they kept telling me, try this restrictive diet, try these supplements. The amount of money I have spent on supplements is disgusting. I don't even want to know. And they weren't helpful. Like, of course, some were beneficial and I might have felt a little better, but none of them got me there.
Yeah, didn't hit the root cause. And what diets did you try when you say restrictive? Are we talking like histamine, FODMAPs, like what, or GAPs? What diets were you on? Or what were you strictly restricting?
So I had started gluten dairy free, which I am still today. I also did low FODMAP. I did the Candida diet. I tried going grain free. I was eliminating anything that was told, like, this could be a solution.
Sugar-free, alcohol-free, grain-free, yeah, gluten-free, dairy-free, fun-free.
Yeah. So I also did, one of the worst ones I ever did was a liver cleanse, and it was essentially just eat these fruits and vegetables for 10 days. I've never been so miserable in my entire life. And guess what? Didn't do anything. Yeah, so I continued on this path for a very long time, and it was about the 5-year mark where I was like, Carly, what are you doing? You keep doing these diets, you keep doing these supplement protocols, and you're still bloated. So it's time to change your approach. So that's when I stopped restricting so heavily. As I said, I am still gluten and dairy free for the most part. I do get away with a little bit of like high quality dairy, but I started adding back like fruits and vegetables that I had eliminated, grains. Like I had stopped eating eggs at one point. I don't even know why, you know, it was just things I had eliminated in hopes that maybe this was it. And then I stopped taking the supplements that were supposed to kill the bad guys, you know. I was like, this isn't working, I'm not taking these anymore. So yes, I still take supplements, but I take the ones that I need for myself, and I'm not taking anything that's targeting the bad bacteria or whatever they want to call it, because for me that wasn't working. And I started focusing on my habits, so getting morning sunlight, breath work before I eat, how am I eating, am I chewing my food, like what state am I in as I'm eating my meals, all these things that I started doing. And that is when I finally started noticing, wow, this is working, my bloating is going away, and I feel better than I have in the last, actually my entire life. I feel better today than I have probably in my entire life.
Yeah, something that you've had ongoing. If you're like most people who tune into the Health After 30 podcast, you know that good health and quality of life go hand in hand. It's beyond our lifespan, but rather our health span that we need to focus on. Aging naturally, longevity, getting into old age, and keeping up the things that we love should be a priority. Please meet Kimberly Rebecca. She's a naturopathic doctor who uses peptide bioregulators as well as a longevity protocol to help enhance energy, get that mental clarity good, and balance your hormones into old age. Please follow any of the links below to get in touch with her, and don't miss a chance to work with her today.
Isn't it interesting how, you know, you said it yourself, you're like, I'd never thought about food or, you know, what you're eating and how it's affecting your bloating or digestive health. But how you said, you know, changing your habits, getting sunlight, how that part also affects how your digestive health is. Because so often we focus on food, because you do get we do get triggered by food, right? Like you eat a certain food and you do feel bloated. So often we put the blame on what we're eating. But what I'm kind of gathering is like, it's not just the food that's causing it.
No, and that is so true. A lot of my clients come to me and they have the same mentality. It's like, I want to figure out what it is that I'm eating that's causing me to bloat or have other digestive issues. And I just want to figure that out so I can stop eating it and then I'll be on with my life. Yeah. I'm like, no. That's not how it works. First of all, that's a really sad goal, because you can eat all these foods for the most part again if we work on improving your gut health. And improving your gut health takes so much more than eliminate these foods, take these supplements. Like that is just one piece of the puzzle for sure.
Okay. So what's the puzzle then? If we're looking at our gut health, when we want to help our gut health with the ultimate goal to reduce bloating, but you're obviously going to have more energy, you're going to get a better sleep, you're going to feel like the sparkles back in your eye, and you're, you know, walking out of the bathroom feeling great. But if we're thinking about getting good gut health, reducing the bloat, what are the pieces of the puzzle, the main things that we need to be focusing on?
Yes, great question. So I focus on the four pillars of health. So that is nutrition, definitely a part of it, but it's also movement, sleep, and stress management. If you master those four categories, you're gonna feel phenomenal. And a lot of times we just focus on the nutrition aspect and we let the other three pieces of this puzzle just fall to the wayside, and it's not gonna get you very far, because that's three pieces of four that you're missing.
You're only doing a quarter of the work.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you really need to combine it all. And I don't mean, also when I think of like movement, people think I need to go to the gym, and it's like, you don't have to go to the gym. A lot of times gentle exercise is the best for someone who is struggling digestively. So that would be going for a 30-minute walk after your lunch break or on your lunch break, doing some stretching, yoga. If you like lifting weights, that's obviously really good for you as well. So you can do that at home too. Like I have weights at home. I personally don't go to the gym. I don't like it there. But that doesn't mean I don't get my movement in. And sleep, having a solid bedtime routine. So a lot of times we're scrolling on our phone until 11 p.m. and then we kind of fall asleep with like our phone on our face.
Light's still on.
Yeah, like that's not good sleep hygiene. You're disrupting your circadian rhythm, and that's going to lead to a disrupted sleep. You're going to have a hard time falling asleep every night. And just those are some examples, but yeah, it's really important to focus on all of it.
And so because you've gone through this journey yourself, I think it's really easy like to empathize, or for you to empathize with people who are also going through this. Because sometimes, you know, you said it yourself, like, I didn't, like, you started and you're like, I didn't even know this stuff. So I sometimes feel when you're at the bottom of this very large mountain, like there's so many things, like even though there are four pillars, which makes it sound really easy, like to really master each of those, that's really, really hard. So I guess where, like, what are the, like, maybe from each pillar, what is the one thing or like the first step that you can go to each one? Or is there no first step? Maybe it's different for everyone. I don't know. But from your own experience and from what you see in clinic, like where do you think is the first place to go?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, it is different for everyone, right? So I would say the first step is the step you are most comfortable making and the one that you can make sustainable. So something that fits into your life and you can do it ongoing. Like, health is never ending. When we're improving our gut health, it's not like we do this for 6 months and then we're like, okay, back to my old life. This is something that is forever. So you need to pick things that you like doing that are easy enough for you to do. And I'll give you examples from my own life just so you can understand, but it is really going to be different for everyone. So for movement, I kind of already touched on it, but I like going for my daily walk. So I will eat my lunch. And another little tip, if you go for a walk after a meal, that helps stimulate digestion. If you're constipated, that's going to really help with that as well. So I have my lunch and then I go for a 30-minute walk. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. Sometimes I'll just raw dog it out there in nature. And that's another way for me to relieve stress, because if I'm not listening to anything on my walk, I'm just walking out there. I live in BC. It's very beautiful here. We got trees, we got ocean. It's very fresh air. So that's like a nice way for me to also calm down. So I kind of like fit two in one there. I go for my walk, which is my movement, and it also helps me de-stress. And I do it midday because I find that's kind of when I start to get a little overwhelmed, you know? I'm like, okay, I've done like all my morning work. I've still got more work to do. This is a good midway point for me to go. And then sleep. So again, for me, I love my sleep. If I don't get my 8 hours of sleep, I notice. So I make this a major priority for myself. And there's a lot of things that I do for sleep, but I'll say, for example, I try very hard to get off technology at 9 p.m. So I put it away, my laptop, my phone. If I'm watching TV, off, it's done. I'll get ready for bed and I'll get in bed and I'll read a book for like 30 minutes to an hour. I try to be lights out by 10 p.m. And that ensures I'm off my blue light. I'm reading, which is also calming, and it's like an enjoyable activity for myself. And then I'm in bed by the time I want to be, so I know I'm getting the hours that I need. And then nutrition, I mean, it depends where you're at. I would say I now eat extremely healthy, but if you're just starting out, I would start by creating balanced meals. So that would mean at every meal, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you want to have your fiber. So that would be some veggies. You want to have a high quality protein. So that could be plant-based or animal-based, whatever works for you. Your healthy fats, so avocado, nuts, something of that sort. And a healthy carb, so rice, quinoa, anything of that variety, and that is going to help you feel full for longer, balance your blood sugar, and prevent bloating.
Yeah, and just with nutrition, because just my partner, for example. And like, I don't know, I'm the nutritional gatekeeper, I feel, in our house, just due to my job, I guess. He's not celiac, although it's in the family. He is hardcore gluten intolerant. That's what you call it, you know, like gluten sensitive, mm-hmm. I guess you would call it, not intolerant, sorry, because I need to be celiac. But he can't stop eating gluten. Like, do you ever see this? And like, I, you know, I can't be a prophet in my own home. I can't, I'm not the person that's going to tell him what he can and cannot eat. You know, if he wants to eat something, then I'm not that person to tell him not to eat it. But I know this from people. There's some, like, people love certain foods, and often the foods that they love are the foods that they perhaps shouldn't be really, you know, shouldn't be going towards, but it's kind of like a love-hate thing.